Now, one of the most popular talkbacks of 2009 was on body image. Melbourne correspondent Ellie Varenti was listening, and it prompted her to once again put pen to paper for Life Matters. You see, it's a topic that Ellie knows only too well. Here's her take on things.
There is one thing I know for sure. Actually, two things. One, getting older does not necessarily mean you get wiser. And two, getting older does not mean that disordered eating decreases just because your age doesn't. Last year, I wrote a piece announcing triumphantly that I'd thrown out the telly. Now I wish to announce, and with considerably less triumph and more like exasperation, that I've thrown out the bathroom scales. My not-quite-7-year-old son asked me last week if I thought he was getting fat. "Look at my tummy, Mama. It's fat." "It's not, darling. You're not, my love. You're a beautiful and healthy boy. What are you talking about, fat?" "I want to have muscles. Do you think I have muscles, Mama?" He proffers his little sweet cream-skinned arm towards me, and it is, to all intents and purposes, buff-free. What do I tell him? Yes, you are getting muscles, and you are looking more and more like a torn-shirted, wind-swept, swashbuckling pirate every day. Instead, I kiss his little arms and tell him that I love him and that it does not matter how he looks and that he just needs to be healthy. But he pulls his arm away and says, all upset now, "You're just saying that because you want me to feel better, not because you mean it." Jesus, has he channeled every second boyfriend I've ever had, or worse still, me, in a relationship with every second said boyfriend that is on its way out because either he's started to withdraw and so I've started to get needy and pathetic, or because I've started to get needy and pathetic and he's started to withdraw? The F word has always been sort of banned in our house, except for when we're comparing fat bratwurst sausages with those skinny awful red ones, or when we're joking about the big fat four-wheel drives that make it impossible to move at school pick-up or drop-off times. Has my not-quite-7-year-old boy actually managed to internalise my own anxieties about eating and body image? And is he absorbing those pernicious and persistent get-a-fit and fat-free body media messages? Who knows? Probably. And isn't it bloody awful and sad, and aren't our children just growing up so much faster than we did, and our parents did, etc., etc.? But have things changed that much? Surely our culture has always, in one way or another, been transfixed by varying culturally specific versions of beauty and attractiveness. You know, those big bums and folds of pink skin and Rubens nudes of the 17th century. And, oh, I don't know, Marilyn Monroe's hips before she discovered amphetamines in the 50s. It's just that given today's fetishistic and peripatetically visual, noisy and electronically obsessed world, there are so many more bums and hips and pirates' muscles to compare yourself with. So I threw out the scales last week because at nearly 49 years of age, I remain eating disordered and abnormally preoccupied with food. When I say remain, it's important to add that yes, while I can say that I have been yo-yo dieting since I was 15 and uptight about my body's percentage of fat to mass ratio, or whatever the hell they say we should be measuring now, I wasn't overweight as a child or an adolescent, and in fact have gone hours, days, months and even years looking and behaving quite normally. My binge-purge disorder has either been in remission or at only third or fourth priority on the list of things to obsess about daily. The first two or three are usually about my son, my work and my relationships, and in that order. By normal, I mean being able to eat one or two biscuits and not the entire packet, or being able to go out to an all-you-can-eat buffet and not doing just that. Although in my case, and in the case of somebody who has a binge eating disorder, eating all you can eat often means until you can hardly walk or talk, and so that the following day you have an almost debilitating carbohydrate and sugar hangover so bad that you are sluggish and low and vow for the millionth time that month never to binge like that again. Never. This post-binge state also makes you so self-loathing, guilty, ashamed and behaviourally impaired that you write your most outrageous emails and make your most, I'm going to regret this in the morning, phone calls to friends, family and lovers. All of whom either thinks you're nuts, drunk or depressed. Some of whom, and it's usually the lovers, suspect you've not been completely honest with them all this time about something and are perplexed and troubled by your at times erratic and covert behaviour. But I've never been a vomiter. Can't do it. Too yucky. And it rots your teeth. But I have fasted, or shall we say, starved, for a fairly indecent period of time. Once in my 20s, I did not eat a thing, not one thing, for 9 days, in preparation for an audition. I got thin, yes, but I had to do my audition sitting down, and halfway through my song, I kind of did a little slump forwards in my chair because I was, well, starving. I didn't get the part. Things were all under control for a few years there, and I had managed to find a workable balance between normal eating, i.e. not binging, and regular exercise. I became a dedicated runner after my son was born and my marriage ended. But then a year ago, I got a book published, and then I injured my knee really badly, and the binging got worse. I had to stop exercising, and then I got depressed, and the binging got even worse, and I got more depressed, and, well, you get the picture. So there you have it. It's not a case of publish or perish, but rather publish and you'll have to chuck out last year's wardrobe. So, and this is hard for me to say, oh, not that hard because I say most things, and the book I wrote last year, the one that made me fat, was not exactly backwards and coming forwards, although I've never really known what that means. Come to think of it, does anyone listening know the origin of publish or perish? I'm a middle-aged, ostensibly highly functioning, highly educated, not so highly successful wife or partner, with a lovely child who thinks he's fat, and with a job I like and a reliable, albeit not huge, income, who has an eating disorder, is ashamed of her body naked a lot of the time, and who wishes that it would just all stop. I just wish that the black dog with the bottomless pit of an appetite would just piss off and leave me alone. But all is not lost, because recently I have discovered the benefits of cognitive behavioural therapy. This is a form of therapy I've always poo-pooed, but now I understand that working in the here and now is so much more helpful and efficient than lingering in my past and archaeologicalising my history. And it seems to be working. I'm writing again, long form that is, not writing like someone with ADD, and I'm not so scared of food anymore. And I'm running again. And my son and I always sit down together to eat our meals at the dinner table. And he's learning that a treat now and again is fine. And it's not a reward for good behaviour or he's being denied it, a punishment for bad behaviour. And I'm not obsessing about food all the time. Sometimes I can go a whole, well, half day not thinking about it at all. And to those of you listening who just think I should, I don't know, grow up, get real and just stop eating too much, because there are people out there with proper problems and why don't I just get some self-control? Well, I say to them that that's akin to telling someone with bipolar to calm down, an alcoholic to go on, just one won't kill you, or to a sex addict to just keep it in your pants for God's sake. Not helpful. Sorry. Dumb. Morally superior and ignorant. And just not helpful. CBT is ace. Get a good and smart practitioner, do the homework, work on developing daily strategies and give up blaming your father or your first grade teacher or your morbid fear of abandonment for your compulsive eating or whatever other compulsive behaviour you may be dealing with. And there is hope for those of us who should apparently know better to get better. Oh, and those bathroom scales I left on the nature strip last week? They were gone in less than 3 hours.
Ellie Varenti on weight and body image. Stay strong, Ellie. And speaking of great topics, don't miss tomorrow's Life Matters when we'll revisit a really interesting discussion on the joys of living alone. Thanks again to the Life Matters summer production team of Amanda Armstrong, Anne-Marie de Bettencourt and Jackie May. I'm Richard Adie. Bye for now.